Into Germany, the business podcast from the heart of Europe. This is the sound of the past and largely the present. And this is the sound of the future of road transport, electric trucks. They're becoming an increasingly common sight on roads in Germany and throughout the EU. There were almost 80,000 of them operating on German streets last year. Online retailer Amazon has just placed a big order with Daimler Truck, and logistics giant DB Schenker has also taken delivery on e-trucks made by MAN.
It's all about decarbonization, and within the decarbonization, it's about efficiency. And when we talk about efficiency, of course, we can talk about the efficiency in terms of energy. And second topic is, of course, the efficiency of the transport in terms of costs, because the lower energy you need, the better it is.
That's Niels Heiner, Vice President of Go-To-Market and Alternative Drives at MAN Truck and Bus. He's got a point. Transport accounts for around a quarter of CO2 emissions in the EU, and road transport about three quarters of that. So there are few alternatives to electrifying the trucking industry, which is creating lots of business opportunities. But will these opportunities outweigh the great challenges of such a massive change in logistics? Welcome to Into Germany, the German business podcast brought to you by the international business promotion agency Germany Trade and Invest. I'm your host, Kelly O'Brien. We'll get the lowdown on MAN's plans for e-trucks a bit later, but first, let's talk to our second guest, Christiane Schmidt, Sustainability Manager at Contago. The Duisburg-based logistics company carries out transportation between the German North Sea ports and the European hinterland. It maintains a network of container terminals, shipping and rail lines, as well as a truck fleet, which is relying more and more on electric drives. To get some details, we're joined now by Christiane and her colleague Andreas Ritter, who is responsible for the operations of one of Contago's terminals located in the northern Bavarian town of Horf. Christiane, tell us, what role does Germany play in the European logistics network?
Germany is more like a transit hub due to its central location in Europe, and it's the largest economy in Europe, and we have an advanced motorway and rail network, which makes us a key player in combined transport in Europe. Whenever you want to go, for example, from Poland to France or to one of the big harbors, if it's Rotterdam or Antwerp, you have to cross Germany. And whenever you want to go from the north to the south, if you want to connect like the Adria ports, then you also have to cross Germany.
Germany has been doing a lot to support electric road transport. Purely electrically powered vehicles, including electric trucks, are exempt from Germany's vehicle tax until 2030. Additionally, companies can claim a special depreciation allowance for newly purchased electric commercial vehicles. And there was the recently elapsed Directive on the Promotion of Light and Heavy Commercial Vehicles with Alternative Climate-Friendly Drive Systems and Associated Refueling and Charging Infrastructure. It included grants of up to 80% for the purchase of e-trucks and for the installation or expansion of the corresponding charging infrastructure. Did you benefit from this directive when it came into force in 2021?
A lot of players in the market weren't there yet to get some of the funding because they didn't have the concept. And this was a good start for us because we did operate our first electric trucks since 2019. So we had a lot of experience by then. And that's why we were able to set up a concept and then get the funding for overall now 90 electric trucks and also 90 fast charging points, including a smart energy management. So this was a really strong start for us.
What is the situation in other European countries?
So it depends on what part of the system you're looking at. For example, even how good is the grid connection and how well is that set up, which is a difficult point in some other states. So I think they all have some kind of advantage. when we're looking, for example, to Switzerland, you have this fee that you have to pay when you're crossing from Germany to Switzerland, which is pretty high, but you don't have to pay that if you're using electric trucks, which makes transports from Germany to Switzerland or the other way around with an electric trucks competitive with the diesel trucks already right now. And then, for example, in Poland, they have great funding projects. In the Netherlands, they already have a good charging network for electric trucks and are also setting up a route for dynamic charging right now, which is also a great solution to charge the trucks or to switch a huge amount of trucks to electric.
Given that the funding has ended, I guess the market has slowed down a bit.
It definitely slowed down, but on the other hand, all the car manufacturers, they are obliged to introduce electric vehicles into the market. So they have to make sure that they reach a certain number, a certain percentage by European law within the next years. Otherwise, they get like really big fines. So they have like this huge self-made incentive to get them into the market. And this is why we see a lowering in the price right now, which is a good thing, because when there's no funding and the price is going down, that's a great start to have the electric vehicles compatible in the market.
Apart from costs and charging infrastructure, what other challenges are there when switching to e-trucks?
There's also a huge need in support. Switching to electric trucks is also really important considering change management. There's a lot of shift in the minds that needs to be done. So there are a lot of people involved when you introduce electric trucks. There is the driver itself, but then there's also the people operating the charging infrastructure. There's the ones setting everything up. There are the people who need to sell the electric trucks afterwards. There are the people who have to pay for everything. So controlling and also management positions needs to be on board. So a lot of people in this transition are included. And this is why this is such a task regarding to change management to get them all on board. Because if we have an electric truck and a charging infrastructure, but we don't have a truck driver who wants to sit on the truck, then we can't use the truck.
Andreas, you're in touch with the drivers on a daily basis. What's your experience?
For the Hof location, we have currently 4 electric trucks here running in our daily business. And in the beginning, the drivers were really skeptical because they said, okay, it's going to be a different driving experience. We don't know how far the trucks will be able to go. You have a higher focus on regenerative braking. So you have to drive a little differently than you would with a regular diesel truck. We did a training with the drivers here. And obviously, there was a little bit of an adjustment period. But when I talk to the drivers now that are actually driving on those electric trucks, they are super, super happy because it's a lot quieter than the diesel trucks are. It's smoother with the handling. It's just overall, I guess, a less stressful driving experience.
Looking at your entire fleet, what role do e-trucks play?
Contago overall is operating 1,000 trucks, and of those 1,000 trucks, there are roughly 300 for long-distance transports and then 700 for the short-distance transports from our container terminals to our customers. And we expect that we can switch all those short-distance transports to electric trucks within the next years. We committed ourselves regarding our own trucks. We won't be buying new diesel trucks. We will just buy new electric trucks and then try to engage our subcontractors and set up some incentives for subcontractors to make sure they also have a good transition to electric trucks. And there the goal is by 2035 to have 40% electric trucks in our fleet.
Transporting goods from A to B involves countless stages, ship, rail, road. It's a finely tuned network. How will things change when the switch is made to e-trucks?
Here, I'd also like to divide between the local transport and the long-haul transport. For the local transport, the diesel trucks can largely be replaced by electric trucks. That's pretty easy. They're suitable right now for every kind of transport and also, for example, for transporting hazardous goods in box containers. That's also allowed with the electric trucks. And there's already one on the market available, one electric truck who's also available for transporting hazardous goods in tank containers. So there is really no reason why not to switch to an electric truck. The main difference is that the electric truck is slightly heavier, and that impacts the load capacity. And then for the long haul transport, the charging infrastructure is a critical point. So we have now the newest generation of electric trucks, which is the eActros 600. And that one offers a range of 500 kilometers. And that's enough to match the driving times between the mandatory breaks. So enough kilometers you can reach, and then the driver anyway has to stop. But then you need to make sure that he doesn't have to drive somewhere all the way off the road to charge his vehicle. And then there needs to be a proper stopping point where he can also do a proper break and has everything he needs around. So this, the long-haul transport really depends on overcoming this range limitations by setting up proper charging infrastructure.
So if we look at the current charging infrastructure, is it possible to deliver goods with e-trucks to every corner of Germany?
So whenever you're asking a truck driver, he'd say, what's the most important for me is that I can drive there with the whole truck, so I don't need to leave the trailer somewhere else and just go with there with the machine, but go there with the whole truck. And then we have a lot of fast charging points in Germany, but most of them are designed for cars. Though the charging infrastructure needs to be designed to support such a high power for a longer time. And we don't have that many charging stations in Germany right now who are available to charge trucks and even make sure that the truck driver can go there with the whole truck. But that's in progress. So there is like a nice overview by the Nationale Leitstelle in Germany, where you can also filter for which charging station is available for me as a truck driver. And that it considers all those points I've mentioned. And you can also see where they are going to build the charging infrastructure.
On official lists at present, there are well over 200 German charging points. A further 351 locations are planned. That would mean an additional grid connection capacity of roughly 3.5 million kilowatts. Can you tell us about that, please?
Right now, the tender is open to construct the fast charging infrastructure for trucks at the managed and unmanaged rest areas. So whenever this tender is over, then they're going to start building. And I hope we'll see a lot of progress regarding this in 2025 already. So right now, we can just do like a few routes through Germany with a long-haul truck, which are already available. For example, Aral has a lot of fast charging stations already, which are available for truck. But by the end of 2025, I think there are a lot more charging stations available then. From the European Union, we have the AFIR mandates, which means that we need to expand the charging infrastructure by European law in Germany. That's at least 250 kilowatt charges per kilometer along the 10T network, where Germany is also part of. And this shows again that we have such a big, important role as the transit hub, that it's really important to follow this European law to set up the charging infrastructure, because otherwise all those cross-country transports couldn't switch to lower emission vehicles.
And I think the second thing for me from an operational point of view, which is always interesting to know, is how much do you also have to pay at those charging stations? So that greatly differs right now. And especially if it's not your own infrastructure that you're charging at, it can be really expensive to charge at those available charging stations. And price in logistics is always a hot topic. So at the moment, you can find customers that are also willing to pay more. But if you want to expand that to more customers, it's also crucial that the pricing will get similar to the diesel truck. And for that, the pricing at the charging stations is also important.
Speaking of customers, sustainability has become a selling point, but is there a willingness to pay a bit more for greener transport?
I'd say there's still a great difference when you look at the different companies. I can say for the local area here, the larger the company, the more they're talking about it, the more they're thinking about their CO2 footprint and what they can do to reduce emission. And they're also willing to invest in infrastructure, to invest in projects with us to get those electric trucks running. The smaller the company, the less they are thinking about like new concepts and the more the price is still relevant.
Transformation always goes hand in hand with new business opportunities. Are there any partnerships and projects that opened up for you throughout this process?
For us, this topic is really important for ramping up charging infrastructure and trucks in Germany. I did already say that there is this huge incentives for the truck manufacturers to get their trucks into the market. So they are setting up private charging infrastructure, which is really good for us because there we might get a cheaper price than we have at the open charging infrastructure. And then that would be also to talk to our customers where the truck is anyway standing at the ramp to get loaded. So there the truck is standing and waiting, which would be optimal to charge the truck. And often you have those huge roofs with a lot of space where you could put photovoltaic, and then the truck is standing there during the day and could be charged. So that would be a really good thing to partner with our customers and give them some feedback regarding charging infrastructure, because we have also some experience from setting up our own charging infrastructure. And then they are setting up their own charging infrastructure for all their subcontractors at the loading ramps. Andreas was already talking about that they are looking more and more into their footprint, and we are part of their Scope 3 footprint. So those companies who are already looking at their Scope 3 right now and see that there's huge impact regarding their logistics processes.
If you look back at all those years you've been dealing with e-trucks, what lessons have you learned?
There's still development in the trucks. So like Cristiano said, there's a difference between how far the trucks can go. You just have to plan a little differently. Usually in the summertime, they were able to do 3 round trips for a customer. And in the wintertime, they probably can only manage to do 2 transports a day. So you have to get a feeling for what they can do. And that's important for dispatch.
There's a lot of change going on, and there's a lot of misinformation in the market right now, a lot of old stories, and get yourself informed because a lot of them aren't valid anymore. For example, that you can't use it the same way than a diesel truck, that's not true, especially for short distances. That's really good, working well. And looking at the charging infrastructure, that would be the point with the peak loads. Whenever you're charging a truck, you're having a lot of power at the same time, and your electricity price depends on your highest peak load in the year. In Germany, that's the case. So you should think about peak shaving when talking about or setting up your own charging infrastructure. I would always encourage companies to get going, to talk to someone who's already operating electric trucks, and then also just have a look at the numbers. Just do a TCO calculation, not just buying the electric truck, but also using the electric truck. Because when buying an electric truck, it's way more expensive than the diesel truck. But when operating the electric truck, and especially if you can charge the truck on your own site where you have your own electric price, then it's way cheaper than operating a diesel truck. And when you're looking at the whole lifespan of the electric truck, it might already right now be cheaper than the diesel truck.
An optimistic outlook. Many thanks, Christiana and Andreas, for your insights into the future of zero-emission delivery traffic. What does this change mean for truck manufacturers? We'll put that question to Niels Heiner, Vice President, Go-to-Market and Alternative Drives at MAN Truck & Bus, one of the world's leading commercial vehicle manufacturers. But before we talk to Niels, let's have a look at some business news stories coming out of Germany. America first. The United States has overtaken China as Germany's largest trading partner. According to calculations by Germany Trade and Invest, Germany's international business promotion agency, trade between Germany and the US reached 255 billion euros in 2024, compared with 247 billion euros for China. It's the first time since 2016 that China was not Germany's largest trading partner. Hydrogen pipeline. Germany has signed a letter of intent with Algeria, Austria, Italy, and Tunisia to create a new hydrogen corridor between northern Africa and southern Europe. The pipeline will be 3,500 kilometers in length and transport more than 163 terawatt hours of hydrogen gas per year. Roughly a third of it will go to Germany. Capital growth. German biotech companies took in nearly 2 billion euros in capital in 2024, 78% more than in the previous year. That's according to industry association BIOR Deutschland and consultants Ernst & Young. One focus was on companies involved in cancer treatment. They raised 898 million euros. The three largest financing rounds of 2024 in the sector were booked by companies in this area. Half a billion. The European Investment Bank has extended a 500 million euro line of credit to lithium company Vulcan Energy in the southwestern German town of Landau. The Australian-German firm aims to produce enough lithium hydroxide monohydrate per year to cover the demands of 500,000 electric vehicles. Vulcan extracts lithium from naturally heated subterranean brine. In doing so, it also produces renewable geothermal energy for local communities and industry. And finally, changing gears. Germany's regional states and municipalities continue to underwrite the country's transition to electric mobility. The state of Baden-Württemberg and the city of Tübingen are investing nearly 25 million euros in e-charging infrastructure, largely for buses. And North Rhine-Westphalia, the most populous of the German states, has earmarked 14 million euros to support various e-mobility projects, including expanding the charging infrastructure, especially for electric trucks. And with that, we're back at this podcast's central topic. Germany has a long tradition in truck construction and has always been at the forefront of innovation. Among the biggest players is MAN Truck & Bus, with an annual turnover of around 14.8 billion euros in 2023. As Vice President of Go-to-Market and Alternative Drives, Niels Heiner oversees the company's transformation towards an emission-free future. The company's website states, "The future of MAN is digital, automated, and electric." Tell us, Niels, why is that?
It's all about decarbonization, and within the decarbonization, it's about efficiency. When we talk about efficiency, of course, we can talk about the efficiency in terms of energy, and there an electrical vehicle has the lowest loss, I would say, from the production of the energy. And second topic is, of course, the efficiency of the transport in terms of costs, because the lower energy you need for, I would say, 100 kilometers, the better it is. And then especially if you compare electrical transport and H2 transport, there's no hydrogen in nature. So you always have to start from electricity. Then you have the electrolyzation. You make hydrogen out of it, and then you have to re-transfer it. Either you burn it or you make electricity out of it. And that's where you have a loss as well. And therefore you need a three times more primer energy for H2 transport than with BEV transport.
So electromobility is currently one of the most promising technologies within the green transformation of the logistics sector. Do you feel it's being prioritized sufficiently?
I would say there could be much more focus on this topic because we are at the starting point. We have the products available and now we have to ramp it up. And there are a lot of advantages as we talk about decarbonization and efficiency in terms of energy. But I think the framework has to be established right now. And what we where we haven't talked about yet is, of course, the TCO topic. So the total cost of ownership after 5 years, we expect to be on the same level. All costs, if it's the vehicle costs and the energy costs and service costs. And then afterwards, of course, the electrical vehicle gets way more cheaper. But what is changing, and that is important, is that at the moment, battery electric vehicle is like 2.5 times more expensive than a diesel vehicle. So you have a higher upfront investment when we talk with our customers. Doesn't matter which sector it is, if it's transport or municipalities or wherever, it's always at the beginning is expensive. And that's the challenge we are facing currently.
We were talking to Contago earlier on. One topic that came up was the government's decision to stop the funding for commercial vehicles with climate-friendly drive systems. What do you think? Are such support schemes useful?
It's a very national approach that we see across Europe, but it's always time-wise quite limited. You open it for 2 months, then you close it, and then you get some orders. Some transport companies are changing or switching to e-mobility. That's the good news. But I think at the long term, our transport companies, they have contracts like 3 years, 5 years, and they need some planning stability, I would say. And that's why I would say the funding is, let's say, only one topic. It has to be a framework that has to be stable over a couple of years. Because one thing is the transport company, if they charge at their depot as well, they have to invest in charging infrastructure. And I'm not the specialist in financing, but charging infrastructure, if you have a depot, the depreciation works over years. It works for 10 years or even 15 years. And that's why they have more or less a stable system that they can, let's say, establish their financial company planning. That's quite important. It's about the stable framework, I would say, and it's about volume.
That's also an aspect often mentioned when it comes to the establishment of the charging infrastructure.
We as a manufacturer, of course, we have now done our investment and now we need volume on it and to ramp it up, to scale it up. That's one topic. But it's as well outside the vehicle, what never was important to us when we were still working in the diesel world, I would say, because there we had some charging stations all over the country, all over Europe, all over the world. If you see some old photos like 70 years ago, charging stations were quite small. And that's where we are at the starting point as well with the charging infrastructure. But if you would invest into a public charging station, you need someone who's purchasing energy from you so that you can sell. And that's why we need as well volume, I would say, in all dimensions. It's not only us as manufacturers, it's as well the charge park operators, how we call them, because they need a return on their investment as well.
Let's take a look at the registration figures. In 2024, there were roughly 330,000 new trucks registered throughout Europe. A little over 2% were electric vehicles. In Germany, the figure was 4%. What is the situation like at MAN?
We are currently starting. By end of first quarter, we will have 200 new BEV vehicles on the streets. I would say it's the newest generation that we have. We have already launched 5 years ago a small version of the ETGM, so a medium truck, to gain some experience. In quarter two, we will start our real serial production where we are able to ramp up the volume. And something special about our production is as well, in the same plant, we are producing diesel and electrical vehicles. So we are able to accelerate the switch towards e-mobility quite, I would not say quite easy, but we are able to manage it.
Take us into the factory. What are the challenges of switching from diesel to e-trucks in terms of production?
when you compare heavy vehicles with passenger cars. Passenger cars, in terms of variants, they are quite limited. We are used to have a quite broad portfolio on our production line. Nevertheless, in terms of how you construct the vehicle, it's different. We try to be as close to the diesel as possible, meaning that there where in former times was the engine and the gearbox, there's now a battery pack of the same dimension, so we use the space. So there we are quite similar. On the other hand, when you build the vehicle, you have these new high voltage cables, which are thick like a finger, I would see even more. And you need other capabilities in terms of how you build the vehicles, and as well the employees who are working there. They have to be reskilled. They have to work with high voltage systems. That's a huge change as well. And that's as well the reason why we start slowly with these 200 units. We take our time to bring it together. It's a serial vehicle, but it's more time consuming in terms of production. The other technical challenge is that we are facing with our customers as well, to get the energy where it's needed. It's not the availability of energy in total. When you say see it nationwide, it happens that some customers at one depot, they are easily handling it because there is energy available. And the other one, which is only a couple of kilometers away, it doesn't work because you don't have the electrical infrastructure.
So, Niels, please get your crystal ball out. When will e-trucks become established on the roads?
By today, we do not offer every diesel version that we have as well already as a BEV vehicle. But we had a look into our volumes that we have sold last year or the last 2 years. And 60% of the technical configuration we are able to provide as a BEV vehicles, which is quite a lot, I would say, when we are coming to the market. And of course, if there's no market, we are not able to sell. We expect, let's say, beginning of the next decade, we expect to achieve 50% with battery electric vehicles, and then it will continue. But we expect, let's say, in 10 years, 2/3 or even 80% might be electrical when you have the electrical system working. And it's always the vehicle plus the charging.
MAN has been active in Bavaria for almost 200 years. Its predecessor company was founded in Augsburg. It later merged with a factory in Nuremberg. This history is still reflected in the name. MAN stands for Maschinenfabrik, machine factory, Augsburg, Nuremberg. What are the advantages of Germany as a production location?
Of course, we are very linked to Germany with our sites in Nuremberg and in Munich. Nuremberg in former times was our heart where we produced our engines, and Munich was or is still the production of our trucks. And I think our huge advantages on both sides. So we transformed Nuremberg or we are still transforming Nuremberg from engine supplier only to a battery supplier, which is the new important thing in the truck. And the huge advantage that we have with these both sites, that we have production and engineering very close by, so that we in the phase of ramp up, where we have really one team that is working on to make this happen. And we even have another dimension that we have to add. Digitalization, of course, gets much more important because you have to understand your transport system, as the battery is impacted by, for example, on temperature and so on. We are close to the politicians that support us, but we are as well close to the universities who support us as well. And they in Nuremberg or in the area of Nuremberg and Munich, you have a potential where you can go to get some forward-thinking topics in terms of e-mobility, in terms of digitalization.
We've recently done a whole episode on Germany's fertile R&D landscape, including universities and research institutes. If you want to learn more, have a listen to episode 26. So, Niels, it sounds like business opportunities are opening up here. Are there any areas that you are focusing on in particular?
There's a lot in an area where we never thought about in the past. It's about how to charge the vehicle. And there we did something what we never did before. We teamed up, I would say, with our competitors, and we created the joint venture Mylands to build up some public charging infrastructure, which is open to everybody, of course. And we expect that this charging joint venture will supply like 1/10 of the charging points that we need in public charging across Europe. Another dimension is that we are charging with E.ON to electrify our service stations as well, because there we need as well charging infrastructure. And last but not least, we created a card which is called MAN Charge and Go, where we offer to our customers the broadest network of all charging points that are suitable for heavy trucks, because today, of course, a lot of charging infrastructure is only for passenger cars. And there we are partnering with all charging infrastructure suppliers. If it's the old oil companies, I would say, or some new players who have only electrical charging, to bring this together to have the best service for our customer.
Before we end, tell us, why would you encourage other companies to jump on the bandwagon, or rather the e-truck?
I think beside all these charging topics and all these technical topics, driving an electric vehicle is quite impressive because it's so comfortable. It's very quiet inside. And what is very important for a truck as well, the maneuverability is way more easier than with a diesel. And that's why I would say just give it a try. Don't stick to your old habits, how you use a vehicle. There are a lot of people who are, let's say, somehow reluctant to this new propulsion concept. But once you've driven it, you see the advantages of it.
Thanks, Niels, for that assessment. Like every country, Germany is still facing challenges when it comes to the transformation of its logistics sector. But as always, those challenges, as well as the necessary adjustments, mean lots of business opportunities. As usual, before we say goodbye, we'll take a look at how Germany works. We've heard a lot on this episode about Germany's EV charging infrastructure, but who's actually building it? The answer is a mix of public and private entities. Among the big name private companies involved are Shell and Volkswagen. On the public side, ultimate responsibility rests with the government's transport ministry. To that end, it's set up a national centre for charging infrastructure under the umbrella of a publicly owned company called NOW. NOW is what's known in Germany as a Programmgesellschaft, an entity formed to oversee the completion of a finite project. It administers a host of funding programmes. It also coordinates the expansion of the system. In its mission statement, it says it supports the planning, implementation, and promotion of the EV charging infrastructure in general. In so doing, it keeps the overall interest of public and non-public charging infrastructure and the users in mind. And that's how Germany works. We've come to the end of another episode of Into Germany. If you're planning on delivering some sustainable business ideas to Germany, don't hesitate to get in touch with Germany Trade and Invest. We'll be happy to advise you, all at no cost, because we're a government agency. Get in touch at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinions, suggestions, and questions. Please leave a comment in your favourite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. All right, that's my ride. I'm off. Till next time, auf Wiederhören, keep on trucking, and remember, Germany means business.